Hebrews chapter number 11. I won't preach long today, and I won't be long at what I do, but let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God, found the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll start reading in verse number 1. Hebrews 11. If you've enjoyed the singing today, say amen. I'm glad we've got a God we can sing about. Isn't it amazing? We never hear no Buddha songs. Not much to sing about it. Don't hear much about Confucius. I've heard right smart about Jesus. He's the only one worth singing about. Now, faith is, I'm glad the Bible lets us know, not only what it is, but where it is. Faith is. Aren't you glad He didn't say, now faith was? Not faith used to be, but faith is. Boy, that would do something for all of us this morning. If we'd get into what faith could do now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Man, when I get there, I want my report card right. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Faith can let you know the inexplainable. It can let you do the impossible. It'll let you obey the incredible. It'll let you see the invisible. And it'll let you walk the impassable. Because we find in verse 4 now, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That's what I want to do. When I kick out, I still want to be a talking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Oh, what a walk that was. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So I want to know something about this subject of a matter of faith. If it's going to take faith to please Him, I want to know something about faith. And for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear and prepared. And I've heard somebody say, you need to quit preaching that old-timey way of preaching, trying to scare everybody. I don't want to scare you. I want to put the fear of God in your life. Because if me and you get the fear of God, it'll take us places that nothing else will take. I'm glad one day an old man of God preached to me right, and the fear of God come up on me, and it moved in my heart to the moving of my soul. Hell ain't nothing to wink at, neighbor. And it moved with fear. He prepared. Look what he said, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and become heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Father, we love you this morning, and want to thank you for the good time together with you saints. God, with our friends, our brothers and sisters, our family, thank you. Thank you, Lord, we got a good place to go to church. Lord, you're a God of all God. You're the God of the Bible. And I want to thank you one day that faith came by and let me get on board. I thank you, Lord, that it's taken me to your house. And I love you for that truth. Help us now. Let preaching be easy just a few minutes this morning. We'll be gracious to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You'll notice here in the text, verse of 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet as seen, but he moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And this morning I want to preach on this Bible character, just a few thoughts I had as of late this week on what a now to be a Noah. What a now to be a Noah. Everybody's always saying, well, I'm going to do something tomorrow. But you know, we have never, the blood-washed church, we have never had such a dark hour that we could share a glorious light. Boy, what a gospel we have. We have something to offer a lost and a dying world that they know very little about, and that is Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Now, there is four things with Noah's life that I'd like to share with you today before we leave. And first of all, I want to say how Noah lived. Noah gives us a passage in Genesis chapter number 6, and he tells us about living. I want to say today, if it's ever been a time like now, now is the time we need to be teaching somebody how to live. May I say, the Bible says that our life is an open book. I like what Brother Adam preached about this morning. You know, just because you wear a t-shirt about what would Jesus do, that don't mean that he'd be doing it. And let me tell you something, just because that your name's on a roll or you got a cross around your neck, that don't mean nothing to nobody. Everybody's seen t-shirts and crosses. But I believe people's looking for somebody that'll put up or shut up. So today, I want to say, first of all, what a note to be a Noah, how he lived. Think about how he lived. First of all, in Genesis number 6, the Bible said this in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And it seems like it's went to an all-time high as a nation this morning. But there's nothing new under the suns, what the old preacher said. He said that the imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. You see, that's why we got to be saved. We got to be born again. Sooner or later, that kind of stuff's going to kick up in us. And it repented the Lord, or it grieved the Lord. Or he changed his mind about some things that he had made man on the earth because it grieved him at his heart. I wonder what's going on in heaven this morning on the grievance of God. Our nation has grieved God. We've shook our fist in his face and we don't want you prayer in our schools. We don't want you book in our schools. We are saying the same-sex marriage is all right. We're killing babies by the drug. I wonder why the Obama administration is worried about children in Syria and they're not worried about none in America. That's what I want to know about. Why is, you know, it must be a campaign thing. People's got stupid. And friend, just because you pouring water on my head don't mean it's raining. And I'm going to tell you today, it's about time that we better realize, somebody better turn the light on, that it grieved God at his heart. Ain't it amazing in the 50s and 60s, we didn't see the Arabs flying in our building then. You know why we see them flying in our building now? I believe God's heart's been grieved. And a lot of these liberal tree-hugging things won't like this sermon this morning. But let me tell you something. I come up in a country in a time when America was highly protected. And you know why we was highly protected? Because in the first grade classes, our teachers had a paddle on one leg and a Bible on the other leg. And I was scared to death of both of them. And so now we've took God out of our schools, and now there's thousands being slain and killed. Our schools are no more than slaughterhouses. And then people's trying to wonder why. Well, let's put in metal detectors and let's take the guns out of the country. It ain't the guns' fault. I got guns in every room in my house and they ain't shot nobody. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe with all my heart, we better read our Bible and realize there's a God in heaven and His heart is grieved. And I understand America is still the greatest place in this and on the face of the map where we could live. But I'm going to tell you, America's not the America we growed up knowing America to be. I understand why people want to come here and live, but they ought to live like we do. And it shouldn't be a country where the minority runs the majority. And I love people. I love sinners. I hate all the Buddhists and the communists going to die and go to hell. I hate about that. But it don't change the facts. My grandyoungin's got to be raised in a country where a Bible still needs to be the standard of godly living. And just because a bunch of heathens have entrapped our land, don't come to tell me, honey, this ain't Johnny come lately. I believe this Bible will fix our nation. I believe it'll fix our home. I believe it'll fix everything that's about us wrong today. It's grieved the heart of our God. We find the Bible said that it grieved Him. The Lord said, I'll destroy man. Somebody said, well now, that y'all preach a hate gospel because you preach about God destroying people and getting... Well, let me tell you, God don't take lightly about what He said in this book. God don't take lightly about what He said about His Son. God don't send nobody to hell. You put your own self in hell when you reject what He's done to get you to heaven. He's made the way. You ain't got to die and go to hell in your sin. It's a choice of what you make. And you ain't got to live like a heathen. It's a choice. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice in life. You got to choose this day of whom you're going to serve. It's a choice to be made. Verse 8. All of a sudden, wickedness is going on like it never went on before. And I will remind you, there's just not a handful of people in Genesis 6. There's many theologians that will give you a number. I won't give you the number, but I can say this. There's a whole lot of people walking around with wicked hearts. Just the way it is. Ain't it amazing you got to watch your babies in Walmart this morning? You listen to me, Mom and Dad. Don't you take your eyes off your children. And don't you give them to Johnny Come Lately to keep. You know who your children are around. It's bad when we live in a day where there's perverts lurking in every corner. And if they wouldn't slap them on the wrist and turn them back loose on our grandbabies, it'd be a lot better place to live. They need to get back to Romans 12. We live in a liberal country. Take all your guns up. Everybody better get you a slang shot then. I about had a belly full. And any preacher worth his salt ought to have a belly full. Little Joel Osteen, his little smiley curls of the morning, he said, well, y'all fix to see more blessings poured out on y'all than you've ever seen that little penny-wasted looking something. He wouldn't offend nobody. You look out there, all them thousands, he won't even make a clear document statement that Jesus is the way to heaven. Now John Hagee's gone crazy. Now he's wrote a book to get you money saying Jesus not the Messiah. What's wrong with stupid people? YouTube it. Look at it. I don't give a rip how big your TV show is. When you go against this book, you've left the principles of God. Anybody can write a book and be stupid. Said Jesus is not the Messiah. Well, well. I'm glad I've had a preacher tell me more than that. As many as received Him not, remember that? Boy, He is the hope of Israel. And He's the Savior of America. Can't believe these preachers. They get so educated, they get stupid. Some of y'all don't like that. But I took a don't give a rip pill this morning. And chased it with Duck Commando orange juice. Some of you better get a hold of a preacher in your life that'll ground you and teach you what this book says. Don't matter what the celebrities are saying. God ain't hunting celebrities. He's looking for somebody to stand up and preach this book right. Boy, what a note. What a now to be a Noah. Now we need some Noahs in our life. God was grieved. His heart was so touched. Now we find in chapter number 6, all of a sudden God does exactly what God's best, what He does at. He butted in on somebody. Is anybody glad the day God took the initiative to butt in on your world? What a day. But God, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. That's what grace would do. It'll make you just. Justification is what God does in heaven for you. Sanctification is what God does in our heart for us. Therefore, Noah found grace. I sure am glad the Lord looked my way one day and I got grace. I'm glad I ain't got to live by the law. Young man's exactly right what he taught us this morning out of this book. When we're saved, there's new laws raised up in our heart we must live by. We'll want to live by. Yes, we will break them 10 commandments, but there are some commandments Jesus said that we ought to keep. And we ought to keep the 10 we just can't. Some of y'all think you can. And it's going to be a big day in your life when you realize you can't. And that's when grace is going to kick in and save the far out of you. Now, watch this. These generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now look at Genesis 5 right there. Look at verse 21. It's only been mentioned 2 times with men in the Bible walked with God. His great-great-granddaddy was one of them, Enoch. In Genesis 5, verse 22, the Bible said, in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and he begot Methuselah. You've heard the old saying, the old cliche, old as Methuselah. I noticed yesterday the oldest man in America died 112 years. I don't want to live that long here. Lord, I'm hurting at 52. Now watch this. Enoch lived 65 years and he got a boy named Methuselah and Enoch walked with God. Ain't it amazing? Some young'uns will make you get closer to Jesus than others. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. Some that you ain't got to live too close to God. Some you got to get close to God. Methuselah come along, got him next to God. You better be glad they some children that's allowed you to get closer to God. So he had Methuselah. And then watch this. Methuselah, he was 300 years. He got sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch was 365 years. He lived a year for every day on the calendar. And Enoch walked with God. Look, he was not, for God took him. He caught him up. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. You don't hear much of him. Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years. But the oldest Methuselah, that's a long time. And he begot sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. He lived nearly to 1,000. Boy, doctors wish that happened today. Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son and called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed."
Oh, what a now to be Noah, how he lived. I want to say he walked with God. I've noticed when you walk in with people, you become like who they are. Be careful, young people, who you're walking with, because you won't change them, they'll change you. Can I say that again before I leave? Be careful who you're getting in the car with, because you won't change them. They'll change you. Let them get in your car. Then you can change them. So I want to ask you this. If Noah walked with God, wouldn't he have something he could tell us about God? Those that you walk with, you learn the most about. And don't tell me you can't live for the Lord today because it's too hard. That's hogwash. You've got to make a choice. See, I make a choice where I go. There's some things I can't change. There's some things I've got to do, but there are some things in this life I've got a choice. And I don't eat with ugly people on Monday. Amen. I've got some choices I can make. I don't have to go to the beer hall on Tuesday. Now, I make them choices. Nobody's pulling you down there. You're making them kind of choices. Last weekend, I said it Sunday, but I'll be sure to say it again today so you don't forget it. The largest crowd that had ever been assembled at a sporting event was last weekend. Larger than any NFL gathering. Somebody made a choice to get there. You've got to make a choice about what you do in life. You're just not going to wake up and be serving God one day. You've got to make some choices. Noah made some choices. He lived in a bad time. We're in a bad time. But we're also in one of the greatest times ever been known unto man to be a light for Jesus. You young people, what an opportunity. I can't elaborate enough the opportunity you've got to serve Jesus in these last days. Church, could I just have your attention maybe 10 more minutes and then y'all's mind drifting on me a little bit today. Maybe you'll be tuned in for preaching tonight. But I want to say this. If our church would just keep preaching out of a King James Bible, keep loving sinners, keep loving each other, and just keep exalting the Savior, putting Jesus in the first of everything we do here, we'll always have something to offer a community that not every church will have to offer. There are many churches offering swallowing goldfish, swordsman acts, flashing lights, smoke, music, the sound of a different drum. But let me tell you something. You've got to make a choice to do right. And Noah found his life in a life of many choices. And Brother Adam said it right this morning. It helps us a lot when we're around the right kind of people to make the right kind of choices. I'd hate to know where my life would be in 6 months without this ministry. I would hate to know where I could be in 6 months without a Bible, without a prayer altar, and without the fellowship of my brother and sisters and listening to Bible teaching and preaching. It helps me to make the right choices. Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to meet some people in life, it's tough to make the right choice. You're going to go some places, you're going to be tempted with things, and it's hard to make the right choice. And you got to agree with this, life is all about the right choices. I want to have a church where we can be taught right so we can make the right choices. Now, look how he lived. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord and he walked with God. What a statement. Now, not only how he lived, but in Genesis 7:1, look how he listened. Noah listened good. And I've noticed this. Those that listen the least are those that talk the most.
Those that listen the least have a tendency to talk the most. Now we find Noah listening. Why do you use that statement, he's listening? Well, look what God said. The Bible said he got the ark ready. Verse 22, he did all that Noah commanded him. And the Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Now watch, he listened. The Lord said, "Come," and he moved in and he listened. Now, if God would have said, "Go," it would have been a commandment. But he said, "Come." There was an invitation. God's still giving that call out this morning. Anybody that wants to come into the ark of safety can come by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. That lets me know also that God was on the inside. If He'd been on the outside, He had said, "Go in." But on the inside, He said, "Come in." Aren't you glad we've got a God that's on the inside of things? And so, he was a man that could listen. Have you listened? I think a lot of times God has to get us to a point to listen. Isn't it amazing what has to happen in our life before we're ready to listen? God answered a big prayer for me week before last, and my wife made a statement yesterday about me getting crazy again. I said, "No, that's done with there." Now, when I done hit the road and scooted out there toward that ditch on my backside and my elbows and everything I got scabbed over and britches rubbed wrong, none of y'all never been there. Y'all look like he needs a preaching back here this morning. I've got a tendency to listen. And so he listened. Is anybody listening to what God's got to say for you today? Don't be listening to what this world's saying. Listen to what God's saying. Wouldn't that change our homes if we could listen to what God's saying? How important was it? I tell you how important it was. He listened, so his family followed him. That's pretty important. Y'all got these little young'uns right now running around, they on your toes. Hang on. They're going to be in a lot greater place than that before too long. Y'all cherish these moments. Let me help you as a grandpa this morning. Don't just beat the fire out of your young'uns for anything. You better savor the moments that they running around your feet and spilling their sippy cup. Y'all gonna blink and your young'uns gonna be grown. You're gonna be having grand young'uns and then your life's gonna totally change. And like you say, "Well, preacher, I'm ready to go eat." Well, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to preach to you. Is anybody listening to what God is saying? We live in a country, they quit listening to what God's saying. You know what God's looking for in a preacher? Y'all help me just a minute now. We're going to go on in a minute. Do y'all know what God's looking for in a preacher? A preacher to just listen. Not so much do all the talking, but would just listen. You know, God's looking for some daddies, not do all the talking, but some daddies that would just listen. He said, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." I wonder what would have happened if he hadn't heard that. And then secondly, I ask you this question, what would have happened if he would not have obeyed that? I've seen young families in our church, their children start doing well, and the devil would send something to get the family, the mom and daddy's upset, get them to leave the church. But they forget about who's following them out there in them cars and leaving. Not only their life, I can tell you a family right now used to be so faithful in this church, doing so good. Now they're busted up, don't even know each other, the children's gone to the world. I'm talking about a good family that was doing good. And don't think it can't happen to you. Don't think it can't happen to me. We better not quit listening. When you go to thinking that you can do it without God, that's when you fixing to go to a bad place. Now I will say this, and I said it last Sunday when I preached about that brazen serpent that was lifted up. God's not put a preacher in your life to hurt you. He's put a preacher in your life to help you. And so you need to listen to God through him. And so, what a now to be a Noah. Look how he lived and how he listened. Then thirdly, look how he loved. Noah, the Bible said, was a preacher of righteousness. He moved with fear to the saving of his house. I'm going to say something's going to be real hard, but you need to hear it and I need to hear it. If we really, really do love our family, we'll be careful about what we're doing with them. I looked across the road this morning. I sit out in the rocker eating my breakfast. I'm looking across the road at some houses and they just nothing stirring, just laying in on Sunday. Little young'uns walking around every place and nobody's guiding them in the right direction. I know it's hard to get a family together and ready. I know all that. My wife did all of that. She even ironed their little dresses and socks. She made them little baggies of things to eat too. But she made a choice to be sure our children was ready to go on Sunday morning to get into God's house. You've got to make the effort. Boy, he was a man that how he lived. I'm glad I've had some good men live in front of me right. And you know, anybody can do wrong, but Lord, give us some men that'll do right. That'll be an influence for our children and for each other. You know something? We need each other men to do right to influence us. You know, if the leadership of our church says, well, you know, what's the use? Let's go drink a little Budweiser. Let's get a little margarita going on. Before long, we'll be out there just like everybody else. It does matter what we do. Boy, how he lived and how he listened and how he loved. He loved people. And you know, there's nothing wrong with loving people. Just like what Brother Mike said this morning, he picked that young boy up, told him about Jesus. It's amazing the people that's wanting to be loved. I'm going to tell you while I'm here, cleaning out the ditches, I'm going to go and say something. Last week, there's a man come to house. He worked on something the week before last. And I found out he had visited our church. I was very interested in what he thought. I said, now, you came to our church? He said, yeah, I came a few Sundays ago. I said, how did you like it? He said, preaching was good. I said, well, I appreciate that. He said, y'all got a pretty place there to go to. I said, sure do. He didn't say nothing else, you know. I was fishing a little, you know. I love fishing, Brother Jerry. And so, I said, well, I asked y'all something. Was the people friendly? No, he said something really bothered me. He said, about normal. I said, that sort of just didn't set real good with me. And, you know, when people come in our church, we ought to be way above normal. I mean, we ought to be a little better than that. It's just not your pew and your few. This is a church. It's a family. We represent God. And we ought to do that how we dress. You don't have to wear a tie. Ladies, you don't have to wear a skirt that drags the ground. But it ought to be more than clean up a shotgun. Nothing wrong with being friendly to people. Be a help to people. You'd be surprised if families come in here and say, well, I don't know if they want us to be here or not. They seem to be sort of upper class. That not a fair statement?
There ain't no upper class people here. You know why? Because they can't run it. Now, I want to close with this. I don't know if you ever seen it. Look in 2 Peter now. 2 Peter. Lord, I done preached not long enough, I thought I would. 2 Peter 2. Watch right here now, verse number 4. 2 Peter 2. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, the ungodly. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. What a now to be a Noah. How he lived, how he listened, how he loved, and lastly, how he left. I want to say, first of all, I think he left listening. I want to leave listening. The Bible said, Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I believe he left out listening. I believe he left out loving. He had to be leaving out loving, Brother Dwayne, if he's still preaching to everybody. 120 years, didn't see many converts get saved. He just kept a preaching. It's a story worth telling today. And I say how he left. Look how he left. It's hidden. Watch what he says. Noah, the eighth person. Why did it say that? It was only eight of them got saved. Only eight people got on that ark. How many died? Why didn't it say he is the fifth saved out of the eight? Or he's the first saved out of the eight. He was the eighth person saved. Why? Because he's the last and go in. You know why he's the last and went in? Because I believe he left not only loving and listening, I believe he left looking. Ain't somebody else coming? He preached 120 years. Just seen. No doubt he had some neighbors and their little young'uns. Well, surely they some mom and daddies listened to my sermon. Surely there's some people that love their family enough they're going to get on board and go with us. Some of you need to get on board. You're going to lose the most precious things God's ever entrusted you with. The Bible said, and God shut him in. And I guarantee you the laughing stopped when it started raining that morning. Can you imagine be sitting in a building like this and all of a sudden there's water coming on the door frames. It starts filling up. The pews go to floating. Folks are grabbing a hold of everything they got. This ain't a reality show. This happened. But he left looking. I hope we'll leave looking. Anticipating. Surely somebody else is coming. Mom and Daddy, are you coming? Boy, he was listening, he was loving, left out loving. That's what I want to do. Stand with me this morning. I want to leave.